And now would you join me in finding the Acts of the Apostles? That's that great big book right after the book of John in the New Testament. Everybody look with me at the Acts of the Apostles and we'll be on the same page. Well, I'll tell you, I have been enjoying the hospitality of the Straight Gate Church for a couple of days here and been refreshed in my memory of what's going on in the church and happy to have a role in the very important things happening in our lives. And I want to thank all of you for being so kind to me and the Lord for His grace and mercy during the last few days. And I'm going to miss you, but I'm going to be taking off right after chapel. I am now. Who sets up my schedule? Well, I'll be pious and say it's the Lord. But if I was to talk at a human level, I set in town. And then it is to spread past the city limits to all Judea, then Samaria, and finally somehow to the uttermost part of the earth. They were poor people. They were, some of them, not educated very well. And they certainly didn't have a good record. The leaders were the 12 apostles who were personally trained by Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. Trained in what we call discipleship. And he taught them wonderful things about faith and self-denial and service. So many wonderful things. Now, you tell me. You have read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know something about the training of the apostles. Tell me, in their 3.5-year Bible Institute that they took that course, how did they do? A, B plus, how did they do?
C-.
What?
C-.
The final exam was the night that he was arrested. He warned them. You know, the president of the senior class, Simon Peter, he said, "No way, I won't forsake you, I won't deny you." Remember that? But the Bible says that that night, in the midst of that crisis, which humanly we would say, it was when he needed them the most, that not only Simon Peter, who denied him, but they all forsook him and fled. And a C minus would be a high grade. They failed. Then risen from the dead, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs and stayed them with for 45 days, telling them about the kingdom of God, which is the great theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And I think he was showing them where they fit in. And then he tells them, here's the program. I'm going away and I'm going to come again. Here's the program. The Holy Ghost, evangelism to the uttermost part of the earth. They had no clue how they would get to the uttermost part of the earth. They had no clue where the uttermost part of the earth was. Yeah. He parted from them. They went back to Jerusalem, had a prayer meeting. There was 120 of them. Men, women, kids. And they prayed. They didn't know how long they'd be praying, but they prayed for 10 days. Then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came. And they started with the program. Dear God, help us to see ourselves in our church and do what you want to do in Minneapolis and in our lives. And on this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And stuff was going on. They had a congregation. The first day, they had 3,000 converts who got baptized and joined the church. Then the Bible says they had people converted every day. The Lord had added to the church, not weekly, but daily, saved, baptized, joined the church every single day. And stuff was going on. Look at where we're reading, chapter 6. Verse 1, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied. Now, in another sermon, I will talk about Book of Acts math. In Acts 2, the Bible says they were added to the church daily. Okay. Acts chapter 5, it says the more added. Now we're reading multiplied. Now, those, do you remember math? Difference between adding and multiplying, disciples being multiplied. That means the members of the church were telling the story of Christ, bringing people to the kingdom of God, teaching them discipleship. And then very quickly, the new converts were winning other people. So it wasn't just addition, it was multiplication. And then before we finished reading the passage, I did, it says they multiplied greatly. And many of the priests, those are the bad guys, folks. Those who organized the crime of the ages, the murder of the Son of God, many of them, not a few of them, also believed while stuff was going on. Now, stuff was going on. That's God's plan. Jesus said at the beginning of his ministry to many thousands who wanted to be his followers, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." Now, he later said, "I am the light of the world." And then he said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." But now he's gone. You know, if there's any light in the world, you know who it is? You. And they were assembled together as a church. The word church does not mean the building. I'm sure you've been taught this. It means congregation. Do you know what a congregation does? There are many kinds of congregations or assemblies, but every congregation congregates. We're going really deep today, aren't we? What does that mean? You may have thoughts about the doctrine of the church, but basically in a practical way, the church is what you see around you. It's the congregation, like Straight Gate. Here we are. And that's his means. Matter of fact, the scriptures we're memorizing, boy, I'm glad we're doing that, Brother Peter, really, I'm glad. I preach sometimes from that very passage, and I could give you my outline, but I don't want to get distracted here. But at the end of it says, all these, well, I call it Christians discovering Christianity. Many Christians don't know what they have in Christ. It says the power in you. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Sometimes in history, the Christians have discovered Christianity, especially in the great revivals. That's all that happened in the Great Awakening. The evangelical revival that we sang several songs out of the evangelical revival in England, Wesley's in Whitfield, and Andrew Fuller, you probably never heard of, a Baptist leader of the evangelical revival in England. But I'm telling you, that's all that happened, is they discovered Christianity, the power that worketh in them. Unto him be glory in the church. And the center of what God's doing in Minneapolis is the congregation. I say at Straight Gate. That's the center of what God is doing. And stuff was going on. Now watch. And people were being brought to Christ. Thousands and thousands. The very city that had murdered Jesus Christ now was turning to him. It was an amazing thing. But there was pushback. Who would push back against the program? God's program, Acts 1:8, for the local church. Who would push back? Well, who would be the ultimate enemy of the program of God? His name is Satan Beelzebub Lucifer. The devil. Now, the devil is not mentioned until chapter 5. Not mentioned by name, but you can see him there. Pushing back from the outside, persecution. Pushing back from the inside, sin in the camp. And now, another effort of Satan to stop what God is doing with his people. And it was discord. The Hebrews, we'll learn in a minute who they are. And the Grecians were fussing. Now, before I went to our country church to be the pastor, the year before they had had a rip-roaring Baptist split. Now, I don't know if you know what a rip-roaring Baptist split is, but there have been many of them. And people were bleeding when I got there. It isn't pretty. But that's what the devil had in mind. With the discord he sowed in the church. Now, what was his intent? It gets to be obvious. His intent was to demobilize the church. All across Minneapolis and my town too, there are buildings that house what they call churches. Nearly all of them are demobilized. Very few of them are on the Acts 1:8 program. People are not being reached for Christ. The focus of the local congregation is not the Holy Ghost evangelism and the world. No, no, no. Got a new program. And the world is dark today because the church hasn't stepped up to the plate for a long time. And you know what? That was the devil's intent. And he did a certain thing in Acts 6 that he intends to do with every church, to just put us off track and make it so that we're nondescript. Now look at me. In most communities, the Church of Jesus Christ is the most meaningless, impotent, nondescript institution in town. Who's afraid of us? In the book of Acts, when they were following the Acts 1:8 program, there were riots over the church. And, oh no, they that have turned the world upside down have come here. When's the last time you heard about people saying about that about Christians? You know, they have things to criticize us for, mostly for our sins. Yeah, but the idea of the devil trembling and society going, uh-oh, here come the Christians. Not in a long time. You know why? Most churches are demobilized. And it happens like this. Okay, this is going to be a simple sermon, but it's right here. Okay, ready? They switch. The church moves from, number one, the spirit to the flesh. Now, at the very beginning, after they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to have church based on the Holy Spirit. How many of you folks believe in the Holy Spirit? Okay, the Holy Spirit is not just a part of the creed. He is a person and he lives inside us. His intention is to work in the world through you and me. Everyone sealed with the Spirit ought to know what it is to be filled with the Spirit. We ought to walk in the Spirit every day. And the Holy Spirit was very real to them at the beginning. Okay, now watch until they made this negative switch. Like, chapter 1, he gave them power. He gave power to their witness. You know, here it is Saturday morning. I wonder who's doing the bus calling at Straight Gate. Oh, I don't know. Maybe you thought of it. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. But you know what? A lot of you folks go out and you hit the doors. But you know what? There's a difference between talking to people about coming to church, riding the bus, or getting saved, and doing it with power. How many times we'll go out and we'll talk to someone, we might as well talk to the wall. Or we antagonize them. But the power of God to take his word and draw a sinner to the Savior is something we need, and they had it in chapter 1. Chapter 2, gifts. The Holy Spirit is gifts. That is supernatural enablement to get the job done. In Jerusalem, on the day of Pentecost, the town was full of people from all over the world. They spoke many languages, so these humble Christians all of a sudden could speak all those languages. They left the upper room after 10 days of prayer. They said, we're going to go out and tell them that the one they killed, the one we killed at the last festival day, has risen from the dead and he's the Son of God. We're going to go tell everybody. So out they go, everybody in the streets. They're from everywhere, Mesopotamia, Egypt, Rome. And so here they are, humble Christian people. And the Bible says they began to speak. And so here's the way this goes. Here I go. I'm going to go out there. I'm supposed to be a witness to the world. So here I go. Hello, sir. Do you remember Jesus of Nazareth? Do you remember when everybody gathered and said, crucify him? Well, he was crucified, but we are witnesses. He rose from the dead. He really did. But when I said it in Mesopotamia. I'm going to give them a witness. And I open my mouth and I go, not like they do in the assembly of God. Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that they were speaking in the languages of the people to communicate the gospel. And did you know every gift we need to reach our city and our world, he'll give us, but it's the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 3, he gave them opportunities. In Acts chapter 4, he gave them courage and boldness. That's really important. I don't want to have you raise your hand, but how many of you believe in witnessing and you have witnessed, but you're scared to witness? Don't raise your hand, because it's all of us. He gave them boldness. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and speak the word of God with boldness. Now in chapter 6, if you look for the verses, he gives them wisdom. He gives them faith. He gives them power. Everything they need. In Acts chapter 5, I skipped it, he was the administrator of the church. Who's the administrator of Straight Gate? Well, it's the elders or Pastor Magnuson. You know, if you had asked them, they would have said, well, that's easy. It's the Holy Ghost. The owner of the company is Jesus Christ. He bought the church with his own blood. He's the owner, but he's gone. He's in heaven on business. So he has left the Holy Ghost to be the executive vice president in charge during the absence of the president. He was real to them. How do you know that from Acts 5? Don't you remember Ananias and Sapphira, that sweet couple that invented hypocrisy in their local church? Remember them? I won't go through the story. But they were accused of lying to... They lied to the Holy Spirit. And one of the pastors said, how dare you lie to the Holy Spirit? Sounds to me like everybody knew the Holy Spirit was in charge. Yeah, when they chose deacons, we just read this, they had to be full of the Holy Ghost. You know what? At most churches, if we choose deacons, we will say, now the qualifications are you have to be full of wisdom and full of the Holy Ghost and of good report. Now, most of the churches I'm around, people would go, how do we know if they're full of the Holy Ghost? That's kind of a theological statement. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. They knew. They knew the difference. They couldn't operate church without the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's what it was like. But they made the switch. They went from the Spirit to the flesh. How do you know? Look at verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, who can tell me what murmuring is? What's a more common word we might use for when people murmur? Gossip is one word. What would be another word? Complaining. There's the, they were complaining. You know what? Not everything in the church goes smooth. And you, if you're an adult and intelligent, you may have an opinion different from something that's been done. But friends, I want to tell you something. There's a right way and a wrong way to handle problems. And a wrong way is murmuring. The English word murmuring is very descriptive. Murmur, 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 murmur. Murmur, 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 murmur. In both the Old Testament and in the New Testament, murmuring is a sin. S-I-N. And you know what that was? Proof that they were in the flesh. Now, Christian people are either spiritual or carnal. Matter of fact, some of the same people are spiritual 1 hour and carnal the next hour. Carnal means fleshly. That means I have the Holy Spirit, but I live according to my flesh. I live as if I don't have the Holy Spirit. But spiritual means that I live in partnership with the Holy Spirit. I trust in him for the power to live the life, to live for the one who died for me. See, that's spiritual, and now there's carnal, and they've made the switch. How do you know? I have caught them being carnal. How do you catch somebody being carnal? When they sin. Any Christian can be carnal or spiritual any minute. But I got to tell you something, friends. When I sin, I'm not being spiritual. Did you know that when I abide in Christ and am filled with the Spirit, I don't sin? In 1 John chapter 3, the Bible says that he that abideth in him sinneth not. That's 1 John 3:6. He that abideth in him sinneth not. We were talking about abiding in Christ. And you know, if I'm living the life where I'm his friend, I do whatsoever he commands me, I depend on him for the power. You know what? During the time I'm abiding in Christ, I don't sin. Now, I'm not preaching sinless perfection, but I am preaching this. And that is, when I'm living in partnership with Jesus Christ, I don't sin. And when I sin, it's proof I'm carnal. A carnal person isn't detected by the look on their face. You know, we're really good at judging people. You know, I'll tell you one thing. I think that guy's carnal. Why? By the look on his face. He looks carnal. Or by the feeling you get. Uh-oh. Proof that I'm carnal is when I sin. And so they began sinning. They were murmuring. They were murmuring. They were in the flesh. Two ways to live the Christian life, remember? I can either live in Jesus or live in the world. See, and another way to put it is I can either walk by faith or by sight. I can either walk in the spirit or in the flesh, and they made the switch. And it was really bad. It was really bad. Now let's talk about what happened. Now I've been a pastor for a while, so I recognize this, and to me, this is proof that the Jerusalem church was a Baptist church. Because here's what happened. There were the Grecians. Now, in the Greek language, the word Grecian doesn't mean your ethnicity or background. It means your language. All of them were ethnic Jews. Some of them spoke Greek. And the Grecians were considered to be people who conformed to the Roman world. Then there were Jews who were Hebrews. That's not talking about ethnicity. They were all Jews. Talking about language. The ones who maintained the Hebrew language of the Old Testament were people who were rejecting the Roman influence and were far more faithful to the law of Moses, Hebrews. So here's the way this went. See if this doesn't sound familiar. Well, you know, the pastors and elders, they've got a program to feed the widows. Sounds like a good idea to me. But have you heard about Grandma Jane? What are you talking about? You know what happened? They missed her Meals on Wheels twice last week. What do they expect her to do on Tuesday and Thursday if she doesn't get any food? You mean they didn't bring her any food? We've been giving money to the widow's fund, and the pastors were going to make sure everybody got fed. Now, we got thousands of members, but they missed her twice. And then somebody in the little group gets a twinkle in his eye and he says, I know what's going on. I wasn't born yesterday. That's in the Greek. I know what's going on. Have you noticed all of the apostles are Hebrews? And you noticed that the widows who are being neglected are all Grecians. Them versus us. They take care of their own. And you know, it's not just Grandma Jane, it's Grandma Mary and Grandma Sally, all these Grecian widows. I mean, they're going hungry, but they take care of their own. Yeah, I know what's going on. Yeah, those apostles, they're taking care of their own, and now we got trouble. Now, I want to tell you a little something. Did you know if you ever have any somebody in the church who knows what's going on, he says, I know what's going on. Pretty well every time somebody who knows, says he knows what's going on doesn't know what's going on. You know what this is? Evil surmisings. Evil surmisings where somebody surmises. I've got the preacher figured out. I know what's happening. I know the politics. You know what is deadly. You know what would be a good idea at Straight Gate? If you have someone who talks to you and they're murmuring, and also evil surmisings, and they got this figured out, wink, wink. You know what would be a good practice? It would be a good deal if members of the Straight Gate Church would respond to a person who is complaining like that by saying, aren't you being carnal? Aren't you being carnal? Isn't that murmuring? Isn't it displeasing to the world? I'll tell you what, that would help the church a lot. Aren't you being carnal? And I'm going to tell you something, they were. And the whole church was being switched from the spirit to the flesh, like so many churches. I know churches right now that operate like the Kiwanis Club. I've known of committee meetings where they decide, we need something fresh and new. And you know what? And something they've read in a business book or some advertising method, you know, like Madison Avenue. And I know of churches like this, fundamental churches, that are starting to operate pretty much like Catholic churches. What's the difference? It doesn't call for God's blessing. It's not about evangelism. It's about, wink, wink, using a different kind of approach, a new business approach. You know, I'm going to tell you something. It's the flesh. And you know what? A church gets demobilized when it goes to the flesh. Number two, they made a switch from the spirit to the flesh. And they also made a switch. Now, please, give me mercy right now. A switch from the world to the widows. I love widows. My mother was a widow. My dad died when I was 14 years old. She brought up two kids during a tough time of our life as teenagers. I love the widows. And I believe that the church is the body of Christ. And every member of the church has been given a gift and a ministry to meet the needs of the members of the church. Did you know that? If we follow the biblical pattern, our church would bring people to Jesus Christ, and when they joined our church, every need they ever had the rest of their life would be met. Oh, I believe it. I believe it. Somebody in the church would have what they need. And I'm even talking about finances. Did you know once in a while you and I will have a little more money than we normally need? That's rare. Whenever I get a little extra money, I wonder what's coming. But sometimes, you know what it is? We'll find out about this family, this person, and we're a body, and they had all things common. And I remember in our local church, we'd have, I'm thinking of a particular kind of problem where somebody has trouble managing their money and budgeting and so on. I could name you a guy who had a gift to help people out of that mess. And I'd call him on the phone. It was his gift. So he was fulfilled to do it. And I would say, you know, you need to talk to. He would say, I'd love to do it. And I watched our church meet each other's needs. And I believe in needs being met. I believe in widows being fed. But that's not the mission of the church. If you were asked, what is the mission of the Straight Gate Church? If you answered to meet my needs and the needs of my family, you'd be wrong. You know what the mission of the church is? The world. The world. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in this city, the surrounding area, and to the uttermost part of the earth. To take the gospel to every person in the world. That's the mission of the church. And you know what? The devil was trying to get the church to switch from the world to the widows. And what I'm talking about now is focus. What ought to be happening is the Straight Gate Church, individual members, speaking to people about Jesus Christ, telling the wondrous works of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, people being drawn to the Savior. You receive them into the membership through baptism, and now they have every need met the rest of their life. They have a family, and that's the need-meeting thing. Here, let me talk about that just another minute. A body. Do you know if I was on PBS television, and I had a special program where I was going to talk about the parts of the human body, which in the Bible are called members. You probably noticed that, members of the body. What if I interviewed various parts of your body? Okay. So first of all, tonight we're going to interview the left lung. So I'll say, Lefty, let me ask you, what's your function in the body? Well, basically, I suck in air. Then I divide the gases in the air, nitrogen, oxygen, you probably know better than me, and I blow out carbon dioxide, which is destroying the planet. But anyway, but I take what we really need, and that's the oxygen, send it down to the heart, boom, 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 boom. Who takes the oxygen through the blood to all the other parts of the body, the kidney, the brain, the ear, the eyes. So, Lefty, you would say that your job in the body is to meet the needs of the rest of the body. Right? And Lefty would say, yeah. Let's talk to a kidney, the right kidney. Now, what do you do? Well, I purify the blood, and many of you know enough about the body to know the way our body is made, all the parts meet the needs of the rest. That's the body of Christ. You have a gift that's absolutely necessary. And in Romans 12, the Bible says, if you present your body as a living sacrifice, you will prove the will of God, and that the will of God is your gift. And you know, that's the deal. That's the way the body's supposed to work. Somebody comes to Christ. Now they join the local congregation, and every need they will ever have in their whole life is met through the members with their various gifts. Wow. But what has happened? The churches in general have been demobilized by focusing on meeting needs and not focusing on reaching the world. You know what we're doing? We are ministering to the converts we don't have. The whole thing starts with spreading the gospel. God is serious. He loves everyone in the world. He said, every creature. Did you know there are old people and young people and sick people and well people in Mongolia that God loves as much as he does you? Did you know the people you pray for on your bus route or in your family who need to be saved? Your uncle, your aunt, your grandfather. Did you know there's a grandfather in Kenya that means as much to God as your grandfather means to you? Did you know that God is dead serious about Acts 1:8 and the church being used to impact a city and the whole world? That's God's heart. So much so that when they got seemingly distracted away from Acts 1:8 and Acts 8:1, you read it. God brought a crisis to the church to spread them out. He's serious. Acts 1:8. But they've been demobilized. Some of you know who Mike Huckabee is. I thought we've been getting along so well, I would bring up politics so that I would leave here with you mad at me. Mike Huckabee, governor of Arkansas, running for president again. Did you know he was a Baptist preacher in Arkansas? Did you know he was like president of the Arkansas Baptist Convention? Then he left the ministry and went into politics. Now, the first time he ran for president, he was interviewed by the U.S. News and World Report, and I read the interview. And here's something he said. They said, Mr. Huckabee, how is it that you left being a pastor to becoming a public servant, a politician? Here's what he said. When I left seminary, I had visions and dreams and a passion of reaching the world for Jesus Christ. And I went into my first pastorate with an interest in us working together to tell others about the love of God, and I was so excited. But it didn't take long to find out that's not what they wanted. He said, my members, this is what he said, they didn't want me to be the captain of an army to conquer the world. They wanted me to be the captain of the love boat. And I was going here and there to try to solve problems and to win back people who were offended. You know, the word offense in the Bible means to cause somebody to stumble. We use the word offense, somebody's offended, usually to mean that they're being childish. Sometimes I think that a good revival meeting in a church would have the theme, grow up. You know, they'll say, you know, she wasn't thanked for making that cake. He wasn't asked to sing in the choir. And did you know, Pastor, he's hurt? Did you know they're hurt? Did you know they might not come back? Now, you're going to forgive me for this, but when I was a pastor, my inward feeling, I really didn't follow it, was this. If somebody said, did you know that Joe Blow was offended? Now, if there was wrong being done, if we sinned, I'd want to straighten that out. But if it's a childish thing, if someone said, did you know that so-and-so is upset? Did you know they're upset about what you preached in the sermon or something? My inward thought was this. Oh, no. You know what? We play games with something that's very serious. And that's the church of Jesus Christ. We need to grow up. He said, I was captain of the love boat. hold people's hands. Go by, see somebody. Spend hours. It's amazing how the church has been denigrated. And I looked at that and I thought, Mike Huckabee is running for president because of how deeply disappointed he was at the church. Because the church has been demobilized. It's all about our family and about what getting pat on the back. And I think we ought to express appreciation. I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to say. But I'm telling you, the world and Minneapolis is in trouble because nearly all the churches are demobilized. How do they do that? They went from the spirit to the flesh and from the world to the widows. And you know what? It was an awful thing. So the apostles fixed it. How did they do that? Take a look at this. It says here in verse 2, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Okay, the first thing they did is they got the body working. Did you know it's not the preacher that meets the needs of the whole church? It's the whole body. Did you know some are gifted to be prophets, some are gifted to minister, some are gifted to give, some are gifted to rule, some are gifted to show mercy? You've read that in Romans 12. And you know what? We're a body. Now watch this. So they said this. You know why we're having trouble? Needs are not being met. That's legitimate. These widows are being neglected. So let's meet the needs. He said, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report. You know what he was saying? The body of Christ is always complete. What we need is already here. You know, Straight Gate needs somebody to do this, needs somebody to meet this need. We are in a crying need for this kind of an emphasis. You know what? We've already got it. Somewhere out there, there's a woman or a man to meet that exact need because the body of Christ is always complete. However, not all the members of the body are functioning. You know, like a guy walks in with a withered hand. What's the matter with you? Car accident. You know what? The body of Christ in many places is exactly like that. A barely functioning kidney. You know, a half-functioning heart. You hear about people that. The body of Christ is limping along like that. You know why? You're not in your ministry. God has gifted you to minister. And you know what he said? There are seven men here among us who can meet this need. And there were. We got their names. This is interesting. They were spiritual men. They were given a job to deliver meals. That doesn't sound like a spiritual job. But you know what? The Church of Jesus Christ needs to have spiritual people operating all the ministries, even if they don't seem to be spiritual ministries. I remember when I first went to our church, they felt that certain jobs were okay for carnal people. He didn't come Wednesday night. You know, don't ask him to lead in prayer. But I tell you what, we could put him in charge of this. No. The whole thing is spiritual. You got to get the body functioning. That's what you've got to do. Why? To remobilize the church. And then the second thing they did, verses 6 and 7, is they had a prayer meeting. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. They got back to evangelism by having a prayer meeting. And you know what, friends? That's how it's done. In chapter 4, when they were faced with threats from the government to stop evangelizing, you know what they did? They called not a lawyer. They called a prayer meeting. And every time in the book of Acts, the church ran into a challenge, they called a prayer meeting. Oh, how good a prayer meeting is. A lot more happens in a prayer meeting than just praying. People seek the face of God. God gives them wisdom to know what to do. They said, oh, Lord, we're off track. You've got to help us. God heard their prayers, and the evangelism went on. They went back to Acts 1:8. Let's get the body functioning here. The only thing wrong is that the body hasn't been functioning. All of you yield to God and say, Lord, show me what to do and I'll be a part of the ministry. Let's do it. You know what? Every Christian who came to Camp Chintek ought to be a member of the church, a bona fide, on the books, voted in, baptized member, a for real member. The church is where God is operating. And you know, every member of the church ought to be functioning according to their gift. You ought to have a ministry. You ought to surrender to God and say, Lord, I'll do anything. Because I'm going to tell you, you're needed. You're desperately needed. I'm talking about you. You're needed. And then you know what? The Straight Gate Church needs to forever be with the program. The Holy Ghost, evangelism, and the world. And when you're not, I'm going to tell you, He'll take your candlestick. And what has a great history will fizzle and die. But you know what? When we're with His program, He's with us in a very, very phenomenal way. Now look at me, I'm going to finish by saying this. God has talked to all of us, including me, the last few days about important issues. Some of them have been extremely important about our life and future. But let me tell you something. When the Lord speaks to a Christian about His life, He's not just talking about your life individually and separate from others, but He's talking about your life as it connects to the church. We're all a part of the program. And friends, we all need to come to God and say, I want to be a part of what you're doing in the world. The world is dark, but you have a plan. I want to get with the plan. And that'll mean confession, surrender, and prayer. And I'd like to suggest that as I'm about to leave, some of you have a prayer on your heart about Straight Gate Church and about your own life. And you know what you ought to do? You ought to pray it. You ought to make connection with God before we get out of here. What do you think? Let's all stand up right now. Can we stand up? With our heads bowed. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to do this. If you have a burden or a prayer in your heart about your own life and about the Straight Gate Church or about anything, if you have sins to confess and get clean, if you have not yet yielded your life as a living sacrifice and said, Lord, put me to work, well, let's do it right now. Let's do it right now. She'll play that chorus we learned, Alleluia. She's not playing it yet, but when I give her the signal after I pray, and when she starts to play, would you come like to the front, to what we call the altar, or someplace, and pray your prayer? And maybe a couple would want to come together and pray about their life, and not only about what's happening in your life, but about its connection to the greater cause of Christ in Minneapolis and in the world. And let's ask God to do the great things He intends to do with us. Thank you, Father, for making us your own. Thank you, Father, for giving us roles in the world. Help us now to be your yielded servants and to partner with you to go out and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray.